Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 12, 1897. Haskell, Brother and Sister, Sunnyside, Corranbong, New South Wales, Australia, December 1st, 1897. Portions of this letter are published in 9 MR 371. Dear Brother and Sister Haskell, I received your last communication. Thank you for your faithfulness in writing to us. We rejoice in the Lord for His power and His grace and His great love for the souls that are perishing. We will understand that it is our place not to fail nor be discouraged. There should be that faith and trust in God that will ask for wisdom and facilities and that will believe. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? Romans 8, verse 32. Might we not inquire, how shall we not, for His sake, freely give Him all things? Shall we see souls perishing around us, and not manifest a zeal and love for them proportionate to their value? The unfathomable depths of the love of God were stirred with divine benevolence in the infinite sacrifice made. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. Shall the shallow streams of our gratitude be only as a ripple on the surface? What did Jesus do? He who was rich for our sakes became poor, that we through His poverty might become rich. The mysterious Godhead descended to our rescue. We see Him descending from depth to depth of humiliation in our behalf, until the shameful cross arrested His farther descent and made it impossible to step lower. This example is set before us. This is the value which the Lord places upon the human race. Shall man then fail to act his part to redeem his fellow men? This work of redemption moved the universe. Is it not sufficient to move and stir our souls? Shall we not work for the recovery of man? Shall we not place ourselves under the Holy Spirit's working, that every jot of the ability and talent which God has given us may be united with the Master Worker, Jesus Christ, to seek and to save the lost? Where is our faith? We are invited by the world's Redeemer. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11, verse 29-30. Here is a new bond of union in our cooperation with Jesus Christ for the recovery of fallen man. Christ our Advocate is our High Priest. He has entered into heaven for us, and the whole universe of heaven goes out at His command to the help of the unselfish, interested worker. We are to be faithful, courageous, true as steel to the captain of our salvation. For we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4, verse 15. We are engaged in a great work. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. Verse 16. For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He hath suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. Hebrews 2, verse 16-18. We are engaged in a great work, and we cannot leave it or be diverted from it. The highest work of God is the redemption of the fallen race. He calls for all the faculties and powers of His co-workers to be put to the tax for this one achievement, the salvation of souls, the triumph of His grace and love. For this Christ came into our world. This was the object ever before Him, to seek and to save that which was lost. He gave His life that man, through the offering of Himself, the incarnate God, through faith in Him, might secure that life that measures with the life of God. He has the care of every soul in view. He has made abundant provision to save to the uttermost all who come unto him by faith, believing that his blood cleanses them from all sin. He laid down his life for his sheep, and the reward of his sufferings is to see souls saved, to see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. The Lamb of God taketh away the sin of the world. He giveth the grace of his Spirit. Oh, what love, what matchless love! Creation was originated in the purpose of God to glorify himself in the redemption of the fallen race. The mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians 3, verse 9 to 11. Why, I ask, are those who claim to believe the truth so indifferent? Why do they not manifest a zeal proportionate to the work to be accomplished? The Lord calls for the exercise of living faith, for the exercise of practical work. Just before his ascension, one step from the Father's throne, Christ declared, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Matthew 28, verse 18. The gift of Jesus to our world embraced all heaven. Why are we so unbelieving? The Holy Spirit is engaged to work with human agencies to minister the grace of Christ, to make the salvation of souls a certainty. "The merits of my righteousness," Christ said, "shall be given to all who receive and believe in me." The Holy Spirit will give grace and peace and bless you with the fullness of all spiritual blessings. The pledge is made to Christ by the Father that he will give to man all the love he bestows on Christ if they will come back to their loyalty in faith and repentance. Christ will be their surety to render an account to God for the perfection of his own perfect obedience and righteousness for every one who will wear his yoke. God accepts us in the Beloved. Then let unbelief be dismissed. The promise is, we shall be blessed with all spiritual blessings which come from an unfailing source, the fountain of life. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Jesus Christ before the world began. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. Again we read, Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due time manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Titus 1, verse 1 to 3. Brethren, I say unto you, have faith in God. Let all taste and see that the Lord is gracious. You know whence cometh your help. You know that you are to work for the salvation of souls, and to save those that are perishing out of Christ. This should be the very highest interest of all who believe. Those whom the Lord has drawn with his love and kindness are to draw others to the Savior. He is waiting to receive every soul. The Lord never forgets to be gracious to those who are humble and contrite in heart. Your divine surety has pledged you to God through his own righteousness. The Lord Jesus pledged himself to present to his Father a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He has paid the price for your ransom. He has engaged to perfect his grace in every soul, that man may be complete in him. Men forget their obligations to God, but God never forgets his pledged word to all who seek him with a whole heart. Let us put away the sin of unbelief. Let us consecrate ourselves to God, soul, body, and spirit. Our life was taken into union with Christ's human life and deity combined. It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Romans 8, verse 34. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Then let us reach the highest standard of Christian character. Ever bear in mind that the Lord is expecting more of us than we give him. The cry of souls ready to perish in ignorance and in sin is swift to reach his ear. He shall deliver the needy when he crieth, and the poor also, and him that hath no helper. Psalm 72, verse 12. And at that time shall Michael stand up, that great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars for ever and ever. Daniel 12, verse 1-3.
Make ready a people to stand in the day of the Lord. We have no time to lose. The Lord is coming, the end is near. Many shall be purified, made white, and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. Verse 10. And the Lord will say to those who are obedient to his commandments, in a world of disobedience and transgression of his law, I will betroth thee forever, yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment, and in loving kindness and in mercy. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. Hosea 2, verse 19-20. I entreat of you who know the truth to practice the truth. Time is short. Let not your hearts be diverted from the last great work of warning. God does not give this work of ministering to those whose garments are defiled by sin, but to those who are being purified, made white, and tried. Say unto the people, ye messengers of God, cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves, and live ye. Ezekiel 18, verse 31-32. Have faith in God. We dishonor him by our unbelief. Pray and watch unto prayer. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He is merciful, one who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. The fountain has been prepared for everyone to wash and make them clean in the blood of the Lamb. How long shall our weakness in Christian experience last? Arise and trim your lamps that they may be brightly burning, flashing their bright and saving beams onto the pathway of others. Oh, I see so much to be done. I long for confirmed strength that I may work as I desire to work. It may be that I shall be spared to sound the last note of warning to a perishing world. The Lord's will be done if it is otherwise. I will plead for souls. Give us sheaves to be given to God. Oh, give us sheaves. I will have faith in God. I call upon all to have faith in God. Wash you, make you clean from all sin in the blood of the Lamb. Isaiah 1, verse 16. The Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. Proverbs 18, verse 10. This God must be all our confidence and all our trust. The streams of grace must be fresh and fertilize our own souls. Thus they will be in us a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. Let the praise of God go forth from human lips. Praise him with heart, praise him with soul. Let the voice speak forth his praises at all times. It should be thus, and it will be thus when Christ is abiding in the soul. Our sufficiency is in God. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe.